Church, we've been talking for the last 11 weeks on why do bad things happen to godly people. And we've looked at 11 different principles of why bad things happen to godly people. Today I want to talk to you about the next principle, and it's what I call the curse principle. The curse principle. There are some times when you want something so desperately. There are times when you desire something so enormously. There is something that just seems to keep you walking in bondage. There's something that keeps you walking in defeat and discouragement. There's something that stands between you and your destiny. And in Psalm 109, verse 17, I want you to listen to the word of the Lord, and you can see it above. King David had some enemies. He had some adversaries who spoke cursing over him, who wanted the worst things for his life. And I want to show you what it says, and this might describe somebody that you know today. In Psalm 109, verse 17, it says, he also loved, what's that next word? Cursing. Now, so it came to him. You know, if you love something bad enough, it'll eventually find its way back to you. And here was a man representing a group of people who loved cursing. And they loved cursing so much that it came back to him. And he did not delight in what? He did not delight in blessing. Can you imagine that? Now, right now, you might not even have a strong idea what blessing and cursing is. But I think you can figure out one's good and one's bad. One is going to be defeat and one's going to be victory. But here is a man who loved cursing, and so it came to him. And he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with what? With cursing as a garment. Here was a man that David was talking about, was crying out to God for, and here's what God put it in his mind and put it in his heart. That every time you saw this man, every time you saw this person, just like a coat that you see on me, this person was wearing a curse. Just every step they took, every choice they made, every place they went, everything they held, it was cursed. And he clothed himself with cursing as with a garment. And, now, what's that word after and? It. And it, what? The curse. And it entered into his body like water. And like oil into his bones. Church, what I'm telling you today is there's sometimes bad things happen to godly people because of the curse. Now, what in the world is a blessing and what in the world is a curse? Well, listen to this. To bless means to speak or pronounce the favor of God with our words. To bless means to speak or pronounce the favor of God, the power of God, the pleasure of God, the presence of God, to speak or pronounce the favor of God with our words. When we learn how to desire the blessing, when we learn how to speak the blessing, just like the curse of this man, it will eventually come on you. Amen? It'll come on you like a garment. It'll be something that you wear so that wherever you go, whoever sees you said, there is a blessed man. There is a blessed woman. Amen? How many of you would like for your children, wherever they go, whatever classroom they enter, whatever job interview they have, whatever engagement or relationship they enter to, that everybody that sees them said, man, look at that garment on them. It is an anointing of favor. It's anointing a blessing. And I want to tell you, just as surely as you can wear, just as surely as you can wear a curse, you can wear a blessing. To bless means to speak or pronounce the favor of God with our words. Now, look at this. What happens when you start speaking the blessing and the favor of God? Well, it results in a fertile atmosphere. It results in a fertile atmosphere or environment. You know what? How you could best summarize what's been happening at Truth Tabernacle of Praise? The blessing of the Lord is here. We have experienced a dynamic atmosphere that is simply described as the presence and the favor of Almighty God. Now, what happens when a place is blessed? Well, when that fertile atmosphere is developed, then the glory of God abides in that place. Amen? The glory of God abides on that thing. The glory of God abides on that person. And just like the person who wore the curse, then you wear the blessing. And just like you drink water and it gets down into you, and just like you get oil that's getting anointing on you, it gets down into your bones, the blessing of God, the favor of God, the power of God gets on you, then it gets down into you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Now, when you have a blessed place, when you have a blessed person, when you have a blessed thing, it's a fertile atmosphere. And guess what? When you have a fertile atmosphere, everybody wants to be around it. It's an attraction. It is a drawing. It is a compelling atmosphere. And everybody wants to camp out there. Everybody wants to dwell there. Everybody wants to live there. And boy, in the last several weeks, we have had an outpouring of the blessing of God. And man, we've camped out in the blessing of God for a season and a season and a season. Amen. All right. Now let's look at the opposite of that. If to bless means to speak or pronounce the favor of God with our words, that results in a fertile atmosphere or environment that the glory of God abides in and everybody wants to be there, then what's to curse? To curse means to remove the favor of God with our words. You know, you can remove the favor and the presence and the power of God with your words. When you have removed the favor of God with your words, then it becomes a sterile atmosphere. A sterile atmosphere or environment, and the glory of God does not and will not abide there. The glory of God, the presence of God, the purity of God, the power of God, the blessing of God will not abide in a cursed or sterile atmosphere or environment. And it's that kind of a place, it's that kind of an atmosphere that nobody wants to be in. It's void of the presence of God. It's void of the power of God. It's void of the purposes of God. And the result of the reason for it is somebody has spoken a curse into it. Now, if you go back to our verse that we're using for this, this person loved cursing. He loved a place void of the presence of God. He loved a sterile atmosphere. And so it eventually came to him. And he did not delight in the blessing. Now, let me show you three things. What can be blessed or cursed? What can have the favor of God on it? And what can have the favor of God removed from it? Well, number one, things can be blessed or cursed. Think of some things that you have that you'd like to be blessed. Think of some things that you have that just might be cursed. They're void of the presence of God. They're void of the power of God. The glory of God's not on that thing. It's not that the thing is bad. It's just it's become cursed. Well, not only can things become blessed or cursed, places can become blessed or cursed. Not only can things and places become blessed or cursed, but people can become blessed or cursed. Now, if you hear what I'm saying, would you say amen? Amen. Well, there are three quick things that I want to share with you today about this principle of why bad things happen to godly people called the curse principle. If things, places, and people can be blessed or cursed, And you can eventually love it so much that you wear it like a garment, and it gets in you like water that you drink and oil that soaks down into your bone. If you could have the power to choose one or the other, which do you think you'd choose? Oh, man, I don't know about you, but I'd choose blessing. Three things. Number one, let's examine the principle of blessing and cursing. Let's examine the principle of blessing and cursing. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Now, the word Genesis means beginning. Tell your neighbor, Genesis means beginning. All right, so we're going all the way back to the beginning now, all right? It's the book of the beginning. It's the beginning of anything you want to know about, all right? If you want to know about the beginning of creation, go back to Genesis. If you want to know about the beginning of time, go back to Genesis. If you want to know the beginning of man, go back to Genesis. If you want to know about the beginning of sin, go back to Genesis. Whatever you want to know about, go back to the beginning. And in the beginning, God was already there. Amen? So let me show you what God had in the beginning. It says, in the beginning, as in verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God, then what did he do? Blessed. Now, what does it mean to bless? It means to speak favor into a thing, a place, or a person. It means to speak the presence of God, to speak the power of God, to speak the purity of God, to speak the purpose of God into a thing, place, or a person. And in the beginning, God created man to be blessed. Amen? To have the favor of God, to be fertile. And then he told him to be fruitful and multiply. Not only in the continuation of generations, but in everything that you put your hand to, everything you put your feet to, everything you put your mouth to, make sure you're speaking blessing into it. Amen? And so he says, God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them male and female. Another sermon, but I'm not going there today. And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and to multiply. Do you see the principle of blessing? Now, something can be blessed. It can also be cursed. If something can be cursed, it can also be blessed. So what does God do in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26? He says, what's that first word? All right, tell your neighbor, I'm going to see. He says to look. How many of you remember Andy Griffith? How many of you remember Barney? Barney had one thing. What was that one thing Barney had? He had one bullet. And don't waste it. If you only got one, don't waste it. So here he is with one bullet. And what Andy would say to Barney on this, get your bullet out right here. This is a good place to do it. He said, see, I'm setting before you today two things. I'm going to set before you a blessing, and I'm going to set before you a cursing. Please choose blessing. In the beginning, I created you to be blessed, not cursed. I set it before you. You can have either. And you're going to have one or the other. There's not a neuter. There's not a neutral. You're going to be blessed or you're going to be cursed. And so I'm setting before you blessing or cursing. Now, in Psalm 109, verse 17, do you see again this? He also loved what? Cursing. Here God is saying, I'm setting before you one or the other. You get to choose which one you want. And here's a man that said, I love sterile. I love being void of the presence of God. I love being void of the power of God. So I'm going to learn to open my mouth and speak cursing. Remove the favor of God from things, people, and places. He loved cursing, so it came to him. God said that I don't want a puppet that I jerk up and down and make you do what I want you to do. I want somebody with a will that I'm going to give you the power to choose. I want you to let me love you. I want you to let me bless you. I'm going to put blessing in front of you. I'm going to put cursing in front of you. But I love you too much to not let you choose for yourself. Please choose blessing. But there's some people that love cursing more than that. And so God says it's going to come to you. Why do bad things happen to godly people? Sometimes Bad things happen to godly people because they love cursing more than they love blessing. And he clothed himself with cursing as with a garment. I wonder who it is that I might be talking to today, that as you walk in here today, whatever physical garment you wore, underneath that you've got a spiritual garment of curse. You've got a spiritual garment of something being spoken into you, something being spoken over you that removed the favor of God, that remove the presence of God, that remove the peace of God, that remove the power of God, and you still hear those words being spoken to you. You still hear that message that was said to you. You still suffer with that. Now all of a sudden it's gotten into you. So that you look in the mirror and you don't see someone made in the image of God. You look in the mirror and you don't see somebody fearfully and wonderfully made. You look in the mirror and you don't see a twice-born man or a twice-born woman living in a once-born world. You look in the mirror and you don't see favor. You don't see power. You don't see purpose. You see worthless. You see scum. You see a terrible things. I want to tell you, God wants to remove that curse from you today. And God wants to put a blessing on you before you leave here. 1 Peter, it's really James chapter 3, verse 9. That's my fault. That's a typo from my fault there. But James chapter 3, verse 9 says, With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. Now, three guesses as to what it refers to, all right? First two don't even count. It refers to your tongue. It refers to your mouth. With your tongue, with your mouth, you bless. And with your tongue, with your mouth, you curse. And James says, these things just ought not to be that way. Now I want you to listen as I read 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 to you. It says in 1 Peter, he says, we are not to return evil for evil. We are not to return insult for insult. But, he says, instead, we are to give a blessing. We are to give a... Now, what does that mean? What does that mean that we're not to trade evil for evil, insult for insult? Now, I know that none of you know about any of this. You're like me. You saw it somewhere. How many of you know of some husband and some wife who's been in an argument and one gives an insult and the other returns a bigger insult? How many of you, I know none of y'all do that because y'all are blessed people, all right? And certainly we never do that. But there are some folk that return evil for evil, insult for insult. And they forget that they were created to inherit the blessing. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Be kind to one another. Be sympathetic to one another. Be compassionate. Be forgiving of one another. And if somebody speaks evil to you, speak blessing back. Speak forgiveness back. Speak thanksgiving back. Speak blessing into their life. What are you doing? You're putting the favor of God on them. Now, they might not want it. They might want to wear the curse. And that's their choice. But what your choice is, I want to wear the blessing. And you're not going to strip me of my blessing today with the words that you speak. Amen? And you're going to, I'm going to return blessing because I like this fertile atmosphere I'm walking in. I like this blessed atmosphere. I like the presence of God I'm walking in. And I'm not going to get down into the dirt with you. I'm not getting down into the dumpster with you to trade insult for insult, evil for evil. I want the blessing of God on me. Amen? Amen. Well, with the tongue we bless and with the tongue we curse. I set before you blessing and cursing. Please choose blessing. Now, if you reasonably understand the principle of blessing and cursing, would you say amen? God sets before you blessing and cursing. God begs you to choose blessing over cursing. But God says, I'm going to let you choose. And with your mouth, you're going to invoke one or the other. Let's move to the second thing real quickly. And that is, we need to explain the process of blessing and cursing. James chapter 3, verse 8. He says, but no one can tame the what? It is a restless what? Do you know there's evil inside your body? There's evil in my body. And it is manifest in the tongue. He says, no one can tame the tongue. It is the restless evil, and it's full of deadly what? A few weeks ago, there was a person who was, I don't even understand this very well, but on this Facebook, anybody know about Facebook and social networking? And somebody wants to be your friend, and you let somebody be your friend, and then everybody that's your friend is exposed to your new friend. This one person wrote on there, and something I had put on here about the manifestation of the Spirit happening here, and this person wrote back and said, your God is dead. And you know what this person was doing is trying to get me to respond with evil and with insult. But you know, I chose to respond with blessing. And I chose to respond with kindness. But then all of your friends that see this happening, they want to respond back. Well, and then this one here, I mean, really gets down into the gutter that started all of this. And then, I mean, gets into nasty, nasty words like that. And so I had to remind folk that we're not going to give our blessing. You know, we're not going to exchange that with cursing. And we're going to continue to walk in the blessing. And so I had to delete this person as a friend because it got into foul language to other people. Well, with our tongue, it's full of deadly poison. And what you say to somebody like that, is that the same lips that kissed your mama when you was a baby? Out of that mouth, did the same words that said mama and daddy just speak those words right there? Inside of us, it's full of deadly poison. And with it we bless, and with it we curse. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. Mark chapter 11. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf. Now when it says he, who's he talking about? Jesus. He went to see if perhaps he would find anything on this fig tree in leaf. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And you know what Jesus did? He spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to the fig tree a curse. Now, Mark initially doesn't tell us that he spoke a curse, but Peter and the other disciples knew that he spoke a curse on that tree. And so when they came out of the temple, look at what it says. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree, what? Withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you, what? Cursed. How did he curse the fig tree? With his words. With his words. He removed the favor of God from the fig tree. And it withered from the roots up. Let me take a little leniency with the application of this right here. You know, downstairs, the children of truth have gone down there. But let me tell you what else they are in a parabolic sense. They're a bunch of fig trees. And I wonder how many of them are withering from the roots up because of things that we've said to them. With your tongue, you have the power to bless and you have the power to curse. Please choose blessing. Please choose blessing. Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed, it will never bear fruit again. You know, church, we're the ones that's got to remove the curse and we're the one that's got to replace it with a blessing. And I hope before we go here today that if you have spoken words that God's bringing to your mind right now, that you'll be willing to take it back and you'll be willing to replace it with a blessing. Now, number three, real quickly, we explain the process of blessing and cursing. We examine the principle of blessing and cursing. But now the third thing is we want to experience the power of blessing. We want to experience the power of blessing. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, it says, and they were bringing what? And they were bringing children to whom? To Jesus, so that he might what? He might touch them. Pastor Darrell is sitting right here. You know, the most powerful and the most plentiful of receptors in your body is in your hand. You know, that the hand is one of the most sensitive places. One of the second most sensitive places is in your face. The third is your rear end. Any of you ever had the sense receptors of somebody's hand put on the receptors? About the seventh and eighth grade, my basketball coach didn't use his hand. He used the Board of Education and applied it to the seat of knowledge and understanding. The thing that I did that day in gym shorts with holes in the Board of Education designed to blister and to pull more understanding out of the seat of knowledge and understanding. You got the picture. I made a covenant with my rear end that day. I'm never going to do anything that's going to put you in that kind of harm again. All right? All right. They were bringing children to Jesus so that he might touch them. But the disciples, what'd they do? Don't touch him. Don't touch him. He don't have time for you. They were cursing them. They were telling them how worthless they were, how inferior they were, how undeserving they were. But when Jesus saw this, he was what? Indignant. He was hot. And he said to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them in any way, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then he took them in his arms and he began what? Blessing them. He began speaking favor into them. He began releasing anointing into them. He began painting a picture of their future into them. He began to help them to see that they were created for blessing and not for cursing. Amen. You know, I've asked the workers of the Children of Truth to make our children available to us for any of you that want to impart a blessing into your children. Any of you that want to remove a curse from the children. And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. 1 Peter 3:8 says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, be sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a what? Giving a blessing. What's that next important word? Instead. Instead of what? Instead of a curse. Instead of a curse. And look at this. For you were... You didn't get that, I know. I know you didn't get that. I know that's sinking deep down in your spirit. For you were called for this what? That you might what? Inherit. So you, when you inherit something, you receive it. When you receive something that you didn't deserve, that you didn't design, that you didn't even pay for, you inherit it. That you might inherit the what? Blessing, the favor of God, the supernatural favor, the supernatural power, the supernatural presence of God into your life. For the one who desires life, to love and to see good days, must keep his what? His tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Do you see the favor of God, the blessing of God, and the cursing of God? When the blessing of God is on you, the eyes of the Lord are toward you. When the curse of God is on you, the face of God is not on you, and you're not in His presence. You're not going to be in His conscious presence, and you're not going to get to your destiny. You're going to be like the man described in Psalm 109 that we started with, that you're going to begin to love the cursed life more than the blessed life, and you're going to begin to wear it like a garment, and you're going to begin to drink it in you like water, and it's going to soak into you like oil, so that every time you open your mouth, curse comes out. Curse is imparted. God says, I'm setting before you blessing or cursing. Please choose blessing. If you realize that you've been cursed, you know, cursed people curse. Blessed people bless. You can't bless until you've been blessed. But you can curse until you've been blessed. How do you do that? Three quick things. If you realize that you have been cursed and you curse, then the first thing you have to do is repent of your participation. You need to repent of your participation in curses. Repent means to apologize. You don't apologize until you've changed your mind. And today, God is offering somebody the gift of repentance. God's wanting to change your mind about how you speak. But no man can tame your tongue. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can. And you have to purposefully yield to the power of God to speak blessing and to receive blessing. Amen? So today, if you want to remove the curse, you're going to have to apologize. You need to apologize to the things, the places, or the people that you've cursed. That's why we never want to curse a microphone. It's going to look silly, but one day you're going to have to send a microphone, I apologize to you. I've cursed you. Microphone, I bless you. Piano, organ, I apologize to you. All right. Repent means to apologize. Number two, not only do you have to repent of your participation, you have to renounce the presence. You have to renounce the presence of curses in your life, in your things, in your places, in your people. And to renounce means to call it back. You sent it out. Now you got to call it back. You got to call it back. And number three, you've got to revoke the power of the curses. And to revoke means to break the back of it. You've got to break the spine of it. And you can't leave a curse any wiggle room. You got to make sure it's dead. You got to make sure it's buried. You got to make sure that it's not possible to be resurrected. And so today, are you ready to apologize to the things, the places, the people that you've cursed? Are you ready to renounce the presence of the curse? And if you've spoken it over your children, if you've spoken it over your finances, if you've spoken it over your home, if you've spoken it over your grandchildren, are you ready to call it back? Are you ready to revoke the power of the curse? If you want to experience the power of God in blessing, you're going to have to get rid of the curse. How did the curse get there? Through something that you said. How does the blessing replace it? Through something that you say. God is telling us today, I'm setting before you blessing and cursing. Open your mouth and speak forth things you want to see happen for the glory of God. Of God, and be specific. What kinds of things, places, or people could be cursed? Children, finances, marriages, churches, jobs, counties, countries, people, all kinds of things Are you ready to replace the curse with a blessing?
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, @truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.